Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on, somebody.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, The Next Chapter. This is Sheila Coley, your host for this evening. I'm standing in for Mary Hollis, who's enjoying her July off. She will return on next Tuesday, and I'm sure she's well-rested and can't wait to get back to talk to each one of you. The Next Chapter Widows Ministry is a ministry that cares about widows, especially for the first 3 years. 3 years of birthdays, anniversaries, Christmases, New Year's Day, and a host of other special days. The Next Chapter strives to make sure that those first 3 years, as well as the years following, is more manageable. And through lots of information that we provide, we try to do what we can in order to ease the pain of the loss of your husband. This evening, we're going to talk about life really does go on. And we have several announcements to make at the end, so I want to go ahead and get started and share with you tonight from a book whose author is Benita A. Price. Benita spoke with Widows Group a few years ago. She experienced the loss of her husband, and she decided that she would write a book to share her experiences. And I wanted to share some of those things that's in her book with you on this evening. And if you get a chance, you can probably pick it up at a local bookstore from Amazon.com. The name of the book is Life Really Does Go On, and the author is Benita A. Price. And Benita tells a story about how after her husband passed away, and after he passed away shortly after a basketball game he was playing, he had passed out and he was rushed to the hospital. And I believe he had had a heart attack. And so the news that she got on the phone call was that her husband had been taken to the hospital. So she arrived at the hospital and she was met by the chaplain. And the chaplain comforted her until, you know, they had gotten word that he was no longer breathing. And so she goes on to talk about what life was like from that moment on. And if you remember, the Next Chapter Widows Ministry is planning on producing a book about each one of them, the stories of its members. And so we hope by now, if you remember the Next Chapter, that we have your stories, because through reading her story, it can help strengthen you. And then by others reading your story, they can be strengthened as well, because the Word does say that we're strengthened by the testimonies of others. And we don't necessarily have to always focus on the bad that happened. Rather, we can focus on what we have learned from the bad, as well as how God has brought us through some challenging situations. And so I'm going to be reading, I'm paraphrasing some of her story, but most of it I'll be reading because she writes it in a very easy-to-understand way. But one of the chapters she has labeled was The Days After. And so she says the next 4 days were chaos, contracts, newspaper announcements, withdrawing monies from the banks, acknowledging flowers, visiting funeral homes, traveling back to Atlanta, attending the wake, spiritual ceremonies, planning a funeral, rehearsing the songs, talking with the family, choosing a casket, choosing a cemetery plot, selecting the scriptures and readings, determining who the musicians would be, what the songs would be, picking the flowers, selecting his suit from out of his closet, and even his makeup. On and on and on and on and on and on. So as I read, I'm certain that you can recall as widows what the days after your husband's departure or transition was like. So many details. Matter of fact, she also goes on to say it's all blurry now, but Domino's Pizza made a difficult time a little less intolerable. It seems that their support was unending, which is one of the places that her husband had worked. And then she goes on to talk about it had been, you know, several years since she had, since his death when she's writing the book. But she recalls how she cried most of the days. She just cried and cried, but she always was sure to get out of the bed. She would not sleep the days away. So continuously she would just remember, no matter how much she cried, that she would get up out of the bed, that she would not just lay in there and be in a trance like she had potentially thought she would be. She talks about the funeral in her book as well. She says, I was tremendously relieved when her friend Darlene, which also was the editor for this book, gave her permission to not write about the funeral. And sometimes, you know, people always want you to talk about things, but sometimes you're just not at the point where you're ready to talk about it. So even though she was writing this book, she realized that she still could not talk about the funeral. And in trying to do so, she developed a writer's block, and months went by without her having to write anything about the funeral. However, she did say there was a part of the ceremony that was set aside for remarks. Anyone who wanted to speak was encouraged to do so right there at his or her seat. She says that several people stood up and spoke some beautiful things about her husband, and her husband's name was Bill, and very inspirational things to her. Oh, I wish, she says, that I now had a videotape of the service for myself and my children. Sharing this videotape with them now would mean more than, well, I just wish I had one, she says. I think it's a good idea to do this for our loved ones when they have lost a spouse. She says, even as morbid as it may seem at the time, she says, I guess that the surviving spouse were appreciated later. And so I'm just thinking, you know, there are people who videotape weddings and special events, but also we don't hire a videographer to come in and videotape a funeral. We may think, why would anyone want to videotape the funeral? But as Benita is saying here, she said, you know what, I think it would be a great idea to videotape the funeral. Because at the time, it's a very painful experience, but years later, sometimes it may be a great thing to go back and listen and hear the great things that people have said about our loved one. It could have been a song that was said. It could have been something that was said in the eulogy that was inspiring or comforting or encouraging. So she suggests that maybe, just maybe, you could have a friend or someone videotape certain parts of the funeral where years later, you know, you will probably be glad that they did. And she goes on a few pages later and talks about one of the things that I've found that has been the most difficult with talking with widows is putting his things away. Now, some husbands have a few things, and some husbands have lots of things. Some husbands are collectors of certain things, and so it can become very difficult in terms of what to do with the things that he had. She talks about her husband always had lots of clothes, okay? He had those special little gifts of eccentric kinds of things that he would share. She talked about his jazz collection and a lot of other things that he possessed. And so she had to go through his things and decide what she would put away and what she would not give away. She says he literally lived in every way like there was no tomorrow. She talks about who she gave his jazz collection to, which was one of his best friends. And she goes on to say his spontaneity was refreshing and a direct compliment to her very stern character. Of course, there were things that she couldn't bear to part with. One of the things that she had a very difficult time trying to part with was his tools. Now, she says, go figure. Can you tell me why I had such a hard time departing with his tools? Several people wanted to buy them, and I politely said, no, they are not for sale, like his elaborate stereo system, even though I didn't know how to use it. His tie clips, his socks, his underwear, his razors, his cologne, all I still have. All I keep in my nightstand drawer, and every now and then I take them out, and well, you know, Well, like his Schlesinger brother's briefcase that he won from Domino's Pizza for grossing a $10,000 weekend as a manager, the Rolex one watch that he won for grossing a $25,000 weekend. He was quite a manager, but that's no wonder. He was quite the ladies' man when I met him. He could charm the pants off even a nun. So think about which of those things that you have that still belong to your husband. There were some things that you gave away right away, you know, maybe to his brother or to your children or to someone else that you know. But there are some things that you held on to a little bit longer. And there are some things, especially if he's been gone for several years, that you still have. So all the things that she says that was in his life that was special and had to be shared with people that was considered special. Some people just, you know, box up clothes and donate them to various charitable organizations. But whatever it is that you choose to do with your husband's possessions, you should know that it is okay. Never allow people to rush you. Sometimes there's a car that's left, and many people come and say, if you decide to sell the car, let me know. One of the struggles that I've heard from many widows is people can be so insensitive to those possessions. As before he's even buried, they're coming and trying to lay claim on things that you're just not quite ready to deal with. But you can politely tell them, I'm not ready at this time to make those decisions. And then you take your time and you do dispose of those possessions as you will. And we want you to be encouraged during this process. It's a time of much grief. Many widows have talked about, you know, the difficulty with the clothes because they can still have, the clothes still have the smell of their husband. Maybe he had a particular cologne. Bonita, in her book of Life Really Does Go On, which is what we're talking about on this evening, talks about her husband, Love Halston Cologne. That's one of the things that she still kept in that nightstand drawer that stayed next to her bed. Sometimes there are pictures of your husband that you still leave around the house. Just reminders of those things that were important to you. One of our widows have decided to build a garden in her yard in memorial to her husband. So there are many ways that we can remember him. Sometimes we want to remember him in many ways because the thought of him being forgotten can be quite devastating. So sometimes you may just consider visiting the grave site, or you might want to develop a garden, or you might want to dedicate a shelf or a closet or a room or an area that holds the treasures of those things for you and your husband. Bonita, in her book, Life Really Does Go On, lists some things that people say that hurt. Remember, she's been very candid in her book that talks about her days and her years following her husband's death. One of the things that she says that really hurt is when people say, I know how you feel. Her response was, no, you don't know how I feel. She has said in other areas of her book that if you didn't lose your husband, you don't know how I feel. You may have even lost your husband, but still you don't know how I feel, because how I feel does not necessarily mean that's how you feel. Another thing that she said that hurts her that people do say sometimes, and think about it, is this something that someone has said to you? I'm divorced, and divorce is sort of like death. Yes, divorce is a death of emotion and a lifestyle and deserves a particular grieving process, but it is not the physical death of your spouse, and there is a difference. So while there are many people who suffer and the loss of a husband from divorce, or they grieve the fact that he's not there physically with them anymore, Bonita says in her book, it is not the same thing. So you may feel that way too. Another thing that people say that hurt is you're not the only one hurting. Well, yes, Benita says, I know I'm not the only one hurting, but right now I can only deal with my own pain. After I deal with my pain, my hurt, my loss, my grief, then perhaps I can help someone else. Sometimes when your husband passes away, you have children, and you're trying to help your children get through their grief. And even if they're adult children, it can be still very difficult. I know when my father passed, it was difficult for me. I missed my dad. It's been almost 9 years, and I still miss my dad. So it doesn't matter how many years that passed away, it's still difficult, which actually leads me into the next thing, the fourth thing, that she says that people say it hurt. Listen to this. I'm sure you've heard this one before. It says, it's been years. You should be over it by now. Well, yes, Father Time is a great healer, but not by himself. Grieving is done in stages. God makes it that way, so as not to put more on us than we can bear. Depending on the person, his or her emotional state, and the situation, and the support system, or should I say, in some cases, the lack of a support system, that process can take months or years or even decades. Everyone deals with it in her or home time frame. But yes, we do have to deal with it. We must. She says one of her uncles never said anything to her at all. He never even acknowledged that her husband Bill had died and hasn't even to this day when she has written the book several years later. She said, I have just recently been able to release the anger and hurt that I have felt from him since her husband's death. Her husband thought the world of this friend. She says, but I have learned from other family members that he didn't know what to say. In that case, sometimes silence is golden. And sometimes it can cut like a knife. Another wound to heal. I have forgiven him and moved on. Think about who in your life has told you that it's time to move on or some other hurtful thing. Think about those people that may have not said anything to you, probably a close relative or a close friend, haven't really even acknowledged your husband's death yet. It could be that they're hurting, too, and they just don't know how to respond. The fifth item that she mentions is, I've heard that the worst thing to ever go through is the loss of a child. Well, this statement is perhaps only appropriate when talking to someone who lost a child and no one else. She feels that if she lost her husband, why are you talking about having lost a child? Well, that could be very insensitive. So just as we have experienced the loss of loved ones and can be a little more sensitive than usual when others have lost someone special to them, let's be very mindful that they have suffered a loss, they are experiencing grief, and we have to be very careful as to what we say or even what we do not say. The sixth item that she has listed here is you've got your whole life ahead of you. You're young. You'll find somebody else. Actually, this statement is duly ambiguous. In the early grieving stages, it hurts to realize that indeed you do have your whole life ahead of you. And by the way, Benita was young. I think Benita was maybe in her late 20s, if I'm correct. A life you will spend without your loving soulmate, but in the later stages, it helps to realize that you indeed have a life ahead and maybe precious time to be blessed again with yet another soulmate. So whether your loss is something that occurred when you were in your younger years, your middle years, or even your older years, keep in mind that the next chapter is named the next chapter because no matter what phase of your life your loss have occurred, God still has something else planned for you, whether it's another mate a ministry or some other task that he has prepared for you. And Bonita sort of ends her book that's entitled Life Really Does Go On by talking about finding love again. And many of our widows have said, and many of our maids, oh, no, I am perfectly happy the way I am. The thought of being married again and having to come home at a certain time or to make dinner or to have to share my space and my time again is just not something that I would be interested in doing. They have found their place. They have found other things to do, and that void has been filled after several years. But we do have members of our group who have said, I have found love again. For some of you, it may be just a little too early to think about that. But for those of you who are listening, and it's been a few years later, and maybe you're thinking about it's time to find love again, well, two of our widows have recently been married. And they have left our group and have joined the ranks of married people once again. So we want to encourage you, just as Bonita has in here, you know, to be open to find love again if that's how you feel that God is directing you. Some women never marry again, and some women do. So whichever path that you have chosen or you choose, we want you to know that God has the next chapter in your life planned for you. And so she closes out her book, you know, with a little chapter that I kind of really like. It says, what do I do now? And that's not a question that I'm going to answer in terms of what Bonita Price says in her book, but I'm going to leave that question with you. I want you to ask yourself, what do I do now? Now that I don't have the help I used to have, now that I don't have the lover I used to have, now that I don't have the dinner party partner that I used to have, I don't have the person who usually picks me up, takes the car to get fixed, and whatever those things are that your husband did for you, what do I do now? There's a book that has been written called The Purpose-Driven Life. And if we just remember that our purpose is really dictated by our Heavenly Father. And as women, when we become married, sometimes we forget that we have a purpose even beyond that of our marriages. So keep in mind that at the next chapter, we love you. We care about you. And as we close out, I want to remind you that the next chapter, Widows Ministry, will be celebrating our anniversary in September. We will be going to Orlando, Florida for the Holy Land Experience. So if you're interested in coming along with us, we invite you to please do so. You can contact Mary Hollis at 770-981-9118, or you can give me a call, Sheila Coley, at 404-713-2390. We want you to have a wonderful night. Invite someone else to join us on next Tuesday at 11 o'clock p.m. for our next chapter of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening.
Next time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Kneel down before him.
Worship and adore him.
Worship and adore him.
Come on, say it again. Come.
Come.
Let us.
Come, let us adore him.
Kneel down before him.
Kneel down before him.
In your presence, Lord, worship.
Worship and adore him.
Tell me, say.
Come on, say Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
The Lord. to praise him even in the midst of a trial. Come. Man, know how to give him a sacrifice of praise. Now I know you know the song by now. Come. Let us adore him. Thank you, Lord. Kneel down before him. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let me see some hands.